I am delighted to welcome Dr. Paige Killian, Chief Medical Officer of Inovalon. Paige, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also joining us from Inovalon is Kate Marta, Vice President of Clinical Quality and Innovation. Kate, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we also have Rachel Stimmerman, Principal Technical Product Manager. Rachel, great to have you here as well.
Thanks for having me.
We've got a full contingent from Inovalon and also from AWS. We have from our prototyping team, Senior Prototyping Engineer Allison Pryor. Allison, great to see you.
Thank you.
And Mohammed Salahin, Prototyping Engineer.
Mohammed, thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. Well, Paige, can you give us a little bit of background for our international listeners, a little bit about the mission of Inovalon and what you do?
I would be delighted. Inovalon is a healthcare information technology company whose mission is to use data and technology to improve healthcare delivery. We support the vast majority of quality reporting in the United States, about 85%. We also have a significant presence supporting risk adjustment activities, specialty pharmacy, revenue cycle management, and beyond.
Fantastic. And Kate, as that clinical quality and innovation leader there, tell us a little bit about the landscape. What's hard in this area? What keeps you up at night?
Well, always trying to be mindful of the regulatory requirements that we need to satisfy. Mm-hmm. You know, we may want to do something one way, but we always have to be mindful of the regulatory landscape. And I think what keeps me up at night is, you know, staying on top of all the wonderful innovations that are occurring. And I think one of the biggest challenges are, I think that people think this is easier than it really is. I mean, I really wish that risk adjustment was as easy as people think, or that HEDIS reporting and trying to do chart reviews for that are as easy as it is. And it's really much more difficult, and we'll talk about some of those challenges and how we're overcoming them today.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Paige, that keeping that focus on quality and regulatory compliance, et cetera, goes hand in hand with the kind of work that you're trying to achieve. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Well, Rachel, maybe you can give us a little bit of a technology landscape for what does the technology estate look like at Inovalon before you came to work with AWS?
In the space that we typically work around, which is our converged record review or our CR platform, there's really two areas, which is risk adjustment and quality HEDIS reporting. So for our risk, traditionally, our systems have relied on NLP and rules, and that's where we saw a clear opportunity to improve our accuracy and efficiency using those large language models. And in the quality space, this is where our AWS prototyping project has really come to life, because NLP and rules-based are just going to be so limiting in an area that Dr. Paige and Kate will explain, have a lot of nuances, and the criteria for those measures and HEDIS have a little bit more than those keywords and really need context in the full medical charts, which can be upwards of 5,000 pages.
Mm. And Paige, can you tell us a little bit about what is HEDIS? For those of us who are not part of the medical community, maybe you can explain the complexity there.
So there is actually a very large quality metric reporting framework in the United States that incorporates HEDIS, which are the measures that come from NCQA, the National Clinical Quality Alliance, but also there are measures that come from CMS and measures from the states themselves, and hundreds of measures that have to be reported on each year by managed care organizations that are needing to advertise to attract patients and also needing to report to the government and other regulatory bodies exactly how they're doing.
Mm, so both at the federal and state level, that complexity comes in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kate, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you came to work with AWS.
Paige, you might do the best introduction to what we did about 3 or 4 years ago.
I would be delighted to do that. 2 years ago, after a really fun collaboration with AWS that was one using NLP, as Rachel mentioned, again, to support medical record review, AWS came to us and said, hey, we've got this new cool thing. It's called Health Agent, and we'd like for you to tell us what you think of it. And they demonstrated using a large language model that you could query and ask about specific diagnoses. And we were really impressed, really optimistic. We saw tremendous promise for both a risk adjustment and a quality use case, thinking that we could either ask the model to determine whether a condition was present or absent within a medical record, or that we could use the model to determine whether a patient needed to be excluded from a quality measure. So we were extremely optimistic. We were happy to test it. In the testing, we did see quite a bit of promise, but it wasn't as consistent as we needed it to be. So we tabled it for a while. And then AWS came back and said, hey, what do you think about trying again? We've got some new ideas. And we were delighted to try again. And we had a collaborative relationship that is the reason that we're here today. So we tried and we failed and we tried again and we succeeded.
I love that. You know, at Amazon, we often say that innovation and failure are inseparable twins, right? It's not an experiment. If you know the outcome, you probably know that from your science background, right? But you've got to try things and incrementally improve, right? So I love that idea. So tell us a little bit about how you came to work with the prototyping team.
When we first started about 2 years ago, we first thought of approaching this from a risk adjustment standpoint. And for risk adjustment, we look at different chronic or significant disease or conditions, and those are grouped into what we call HCCs, hierarchical condition categories. So we talked about, you know, it's really nice if I could ask, does this member have diabetes? And it was great at finding diabetes a lot of the times, but trying to roll those up into those hierarchical condition categories, those HCCs, was going to give us the best promise from a risk adjustment standpoint. CMS audits our health plans annually saying, you submitted a claim for this particular HCC, let's say HCC 19 for diabetes. They then ask, all right, this diagnosis has been factored into the member's entire risk score. Show us now the documentation that's going to deliver this. So being able to do it, to investigate, and you have these prompts return information at the HCC level was really critical to this. But in the process, as both Paige and Rachel spoke to, we saw, wow, this is really good for risk adjustment, but it's going to be, we really think, amazing for HEDIS, where just finding a diagnosis in the chart, while very, very important, is not really what happens in a HEDIS medical record review. We need a lot more contextual information, which is kind of opposite of what we're looking for risk adjustment. So when we first started, we said we looked for HCCs. The first challenge was, well, rolling diagnoses up to HCCs was kind of complex, but first round, much more difficult than the second round when we were able to work with Allison and Muhammad, and they got it, you know, a couple tries, and we were thrilled at what we were able to see. That really had such an impact on achieving our productivity goals, also with looking at it from an accuracy standpoint. So we were able to do that, and we had daily stand-ups, which were, I may have said a couple times, were the highlight of my day. You know, working with such a collaborative team that really understood what we were looking to do is one thing, but really watching when you're innovating success come up, it's really invigorating. It was really a fabulous, fabulous opportunity and experience. So risk looked great, but then we started kind of at the latter half, I would say, Allison and Muhammad, when we introduced the HEDIS concept. And I was really, really, really impressed with what we were able to do from HEDIS, which is a much more challenging aspect. As you know, as we said, it's not as quite as easy, even though it's not easy for risk adjustment to simply find a diagnosis within the medical record. From a HEDIS standpoint, saying, hi, I'm looking for this on this particular day, and within seconds sometimes that result came up and it was right. So that was a really wow moment. To kind of circle back risk adjustment can be really challenging, not because we're just looking for the diagnosis, but it has to have very specific criteria surrounding it. And that was kind of a fun thing we saw at first with our results on this second pilot we did. So we would say, hi, does this member have HCC8, which is cancer? And it would come back initially, it being health agent, I should say, Kate would come back initially and said, you know, they have this test and this test. So yes, they do have cancer. And by the way, congratulations, it's curable. We were like, well, that's a little bit more than we needed it to say. And it was also kind of making some broader assumptions, which we can't use from a risk adjustment standpoint. If, you know, we can't look at the data, which might clearly give an indication that the member does have cancer, it needs to be very specifically documented using very specific language. So daily, Allison and Muhammad and Rachel and I would meet, we'd go over charts, we say, this was good, this wasn't good. They would fine tune the information till we came back with success. And again, that was, you know, really wonderful, exciting experience to be like, wow, that worked. And here it is. And this is fabulous. Although I'm not going to lie, it was kind of entertaining, some of the responses we got back from time to time as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always great that refinement period in the beginning, and then seeing that work actually come to fruition. Right. Mm-hmm. So Allison, maybe that's a good segue over to you. Kate did a great job of kind of contextualizing the complexity for us. Talk us through some of the architectural design and approach that you took, and then we can get into some of the technical details.
Of course, thank you. So one thing that Novon didn't mention is that they were actually using a lot of AWS services in their existing architecture design. Comprehend Medical, and really building on that, their own middleware layer that helped address some of those needs. And so as we were informed of their initial conversations with the health agent project, we wanted to look at it as, how do we continue to iterate, innovate, and ideally simplify how Inovalon is able to do a lot of what they're doing today? And so when we started looking at using large language models to build this platform, it really came down to, how do we not only demonstrate the art of the possible, but how do we actually statistically validate that we can not only get you the right answer, but we can consistently get you the right answer?
Right. And some of that iteration that Kate had mentioned. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so one of the great things that Inovalon had was this beautiful golden record data set with all of the expectations of what we should see and what we shouldn't be seeing. And so as we were going through the prototype, we were able to always check back to this source of truth to say, yes, this is what we expect to get. And it wasn't so much that we used that to guide the LLM to do what we wanted to do, but we could actually just validate, are we actually seeing what we should be seeing? And yes, LLMs by nature are typically very friendly, helpful models. And so we did get a lot of great anecdotes about the state of a patient's health. but again, we were able to, through system prompting, for example, bring it back in line with what the expectation was. And I think the biggest thing was just the capacity for us to demonstrate the continued accuracy and consistency that we were getting, not necessarily that it was the same answer every time in the grammatical sense, but in the important context that it was able to find these HCC codes, the relevant explanations for why this patient would have HCC 9 or 16. One of the other things was that we wanted to make sure that as Inovalon continued toward production, there was always the capacity to review what was done. So we made sure from the beginning that the model could justify its reasoning. And we provided that as an output so that not only would it say yes or no, it does have HCC 123. And not only did we say, here's the documentation that supports HCC 123, but then we also had it say, okay, give us your reasoning as to why these things measure up and equal that, which again further help with, I think, the trust with LLM because of the auditing nature of what's happening. The clients that are going to be using this need to make sure that what they're reporting to CMS, state medical institutions like Medicaid, are doing so accurately, because there is a potential punitive consequence if this reporting is wrong. And so we definitely wanted to make sure that we were erring on that side of caution with providing as much information as we could.
I failed to add that something really important, I think, that Allison brought up is finding a diagnosis in the record is wonderful. But we were really surprised when that additional evidence was also shown to us in the prompt answers, because from a reporting and coding standpoint, CMS really would like to make sure that that diagnosis just not stated in the record, but that there is evidence and it's being managed, evaluated, or treated, that it's really impacting the member. And that additional evidence, where we wouldn't necessarily use it directly for submission purposes, is really great for the reviewer to direct them to where they may find that in the record as well, that really, you know, further satisfies those requirements. That was kind of an added bonus that I had not expected at first, but I really, really liked.
Especially given that you're dealing with records that have literally thousands of pages, and not always digitized records with thousands of pages.
Right. I was going to ask, Paige, like coming back to you, like give us a sense of the scale of this. Yeah.
So there are absolutely millions of medical record reviews are performed each year. There are estimates that there are over 100 million medical record requests of physicians' offices and hospitals per year. Now, there's another significant use case, which is utilization management and audit. But for purposes of risk adjustment, quality measure reporting, utilization management, and audit, medical record reviews are requested and performed over 100 million times per year. So the applicability potential is enormous.
Amazing. And Rachel, maybe let's dig into some of the technology and some of those choices that were made. I think we have a good foundation for the kind of concepts and capabilities that we are trying to build in. Can you give us a sense maybe, and then we'll go over to you, Mohammed, to get into some of the more technical details of how you actually achieved that?
Yeah. So when we're talking with the AWS prototyping, I think one of the real technical implementation challenges that we have is that we have two similar kind of use cases, risk and quality, and how can we efficiently bring this to life, right? So that was one of the things that we really saw promise in from like a technical implementation standpoint is I have very similar architectures that have similar use cases, a little bit of nuances, but can support both from an efficiency standpoint. So when we talk that path to production, what we're really talking about from the risk side is using the same setup, like Allison was referring to. We have an OCR step where we have to process really, really large PDFs into text, into something usable for that LLM. And so there's a large step there that we talked with AWS about as well. And then placing that data, you know, efficiently into the LLM, where in the HEDIS area, we have like a bank of questions. And in the risk, it's more of a larger named entity recognition task of finding those HCC codes. But you can see how it's all kind of similar. And then what Dr. Page and Kate were referring to as far as the outputs is, yes, we love the thinking for the retrospective in the evaluation portions, but we really need the evidence output, like diabetes on page 3, you know, with these bounding boxes from our Textract output, so that we can actually highlight those for the user right inside of their UI interface. And then they can confirm that, you know, output from our LLM right there in the medical chart through looking, instead of looking through 5,000, you know, pages, it's just like, hey, one or two clicks right in there to get to the actual evidence that the LLM has outputted. So that's our main framework that gets it into it without getting into the evaluation frameworks, which I think is probably a large section that we're going to want to talk about with our experts, Kate and Dr. Page.
Yeah. And so, Mohammed, just to like dive a little bit further into the technical implementation details, can you give us a sense of some of the approach? Because I understand you used some new approaches to do that. And I really appreciate, Rachel, that emphasis on building confidence in from the very beginning for your users. Yeah.
So one of the innovations we had in this prototype was to let the data make the architectural decision. So we have all these different architectures that we can try and see which one's the best. But then with the data set that was provided to us with from Inovalon side, we're able to automate those decisions. So for example, can I rely on L1's internal knowledge to identify issues or not? Or is it better to provide them explicitly to the LLM? I can write a test, automated test, run the test on the entire corpus of questions provided to us by Inovalon. And then at the end of the day, I have two different scenarios. I can measure accuracy on each of those and then see which one works the best. Another decision was, do we need to, is it better to provide the output of medical comprehend to the LLM input or not? Again, we run tests that tells us if it's a positive or not. So that was one of the cool things we were able to do to just automate those tests to help us evaluate different architectures. Another thing we did was to also, in addition to evaluating accuracy, also measured consistency. So we know LLMs by nature are non-deterministic. They are not very good at generating the same answer every time, even if you provide the same prompt, because of the internal architecture of the LLM, as well as the architecture of the hardware that we use for AI. These together take us to this non-deterministic environment where you can't really expect much consistency. But then that also differs from one LLM to another LLM. So one of the other things that we measured was between different LLMs, which one is the most consistent when it comes to answering these kind of questions. And we were able to also measure that and provide recommendations. Also, we were able to enable Inovalon to run those tests by themselves. So we are done here. We tell you this is the best LLM right now, but tomorrow, next month, next year, there are new LLMs coming up. And now they have this framework and tests that they can run on new models and make those decisions in the future.
Right. Kate, I see you smiling about that iterative approach that you have to take, constantly building towards better and higher quality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the very, very first pilot we did, that was the problem, really, was the consistency of answers. We would get it right the first time, we being health agent, and then we'd ask the same question again, like, no, it's not there. So that was our biggest concern, which, you know, Mohammed and Allison were able to absolutely fix in this pilot.
That's wonderful to hear. We talked a little bit at the beginning about something that went wrong, which was sort of maybe that first approach, or like having the resilience to Paige kind of work through issues, see that light, that sort of North Star at the end, and, you know, maybe take different approaches to getting there. Was there anything else that happened during the course of the prototype that didn't quite go as expected that you would want to highlight here for our listeners? I often find that it's helpful when folks are confronted with, I think, Kate, you were saying what keeps you up at night, like keeping up with new technology, ensuring that you're doing that in a way that's always reliable and consistent. Was there something here that went wrong or that you had to overcome?
I don't know that there was a tragic event per se that had to be overcome, but there were certainly multiple iterations as we, you know, as we would test and get results that either suited us or didn't. And our overall confidence in the process was built because every time we brought back an observation and said, yeah, no, you know, this doesn't work. This isn't gonna further our cause. The response we got was, all right, let's take it back and figure out how to make it work. And that's what ultimately happened. So I'm not sure if that precisely answers your question, but the process was iterative and collaborative and a lot of fun.
I think we learned, though, like, what was the best outputs that could be usable for a real product. I think while the thinking, we had this really, like, optimism of it be able to, like, show some transparency, this is actually kind of one of the cracks in LLMs, is they do tend to, like, hallucinate or just kind of give, I would say, unpredictable sometimes replies. Like, while I think one of the interesting cases is while no other, every instance, and maybe Muhammad, you can go into a little bit more of this, only had access to one medical record chart at a time. Occasionally, it would cite other medical record charts that it had no access to, which I was like, that's interesting. And that's not even relevant for that medical record chart.
Right.
So just occasional things like that where we're like, maybe this isn't ready for primetime production use yet. And we still need to figure out how to best utilize some of the outputs that an LLM provides.
So Muhammad, just to further what Rachel had just mentioned, did you have something else you wanted to add?
Yes. So we know LLMs hallucinate, and it's because of the way they are trained. So basically, machine learning models are not very good at saying "I don't know." They are trained to just generate some output for any input, even if they don't identify that input. It has to say it's one of these output categories that I know. So that's kind of an inherent part of the model. But yeah, it was interesting because when a question comes in, we restrict the model to just evaluate that particular patient chart, right? From a privacy standpoint, that has to happen. So the LLM just has access to that particular chart of one particular patient. But Rachel was telling me that, it's telling me that the other chart that I'm looking at has this information. I said, there's no way it has access to those information. But it happens. It might hallucinate, not very often. But the cool thing is that we can have a human in the loop. And for any question that we answer, we also provide the evidence, the pinpoint evidence on a specific page, specific sentence. And then human in the loop can go and verify the answer and decide if it's correct or not.
Right.
I think that's important to stress is that we are not submitting anything directly from this output, as good as it is. You know, we feel it's essential because there are still a lot of rules that we need to make sure have been followed and applied, that everything is being validated appropriately.
Right, right. That human in the loop, so important, isn't it, Paige, to maintain that confidence, right, as we build our body of knowledge and our capabilities. Yeah. Well, where are we now, Paige? What's next on the horizon?
What's next is incorporating this into our product. So we have an existing product called Converged Record Review that actually is built on a collaboration with another collaboration with AWS. The Comprehend technology has been mentioned. And incorporating this capability into that existing product will significantly augment its usefulness. And we are also excited to incorporate this new technology into record review tools for the quality use case. So we've talked about all of the opportunity out there in medical record review. It is critically important that those be accurate. It's also critically important that they be streamlined. And so our vision is to use this technology and beyond to do just that.
Fantastic. Well, Paige, Kate, and Rachel, thank you so much for being here to share your story with us. And Alice and Muhammad, always great to hear sort of some of the inside process that happens during these prototypes. Just as we're kind of wrapping up here, I'd love to hear each of your reflections on what you learned from this engagement or this process or something that you would share with our listeners who might be undergoing a similar type of journey. I'll start with you, Muhammad.
So one cool thing that we did was we provided early access to the system to enable them to test for themselves. At the end of the second week, we actually were able to provide that access. And that built a lot of confidence because they were able to test it by themselves rather than just rely on the results that we provide. So that was very interesting and useful.
Fantastic. Allison, how about you?
I think one of the biggest things is just the continued evolution of large language models into this space of what I would call cognitive analysis and generative assessments. To do that kind of heavy duty lifting, at AWS, we talk about undifferentiated heavy lifting of IT. And I think LLMs are moving towards this concept of undifferentiated heavy lifting of that thought, of that analysis, making it more consistent, more accurate. And if we can continue to work on hallucinations and things of that nature, ensuring that from a human perspective, we're spending time doing what matters versus looking through data that we may miss because we're doing thousands of pages of review. From that perspective. So I think just the continued evolution and the ability to simplify for Inovalon and give them that forward velocity towards meeting their goals.
That's well said. Rachel, how about you? What were some of your reflections or learnings?
I mean, yeah, I'll echo a lot of what Allison said. I think like with my position, you know, Dr. Page and Kate do this great job of setting us up with the innovation, and it's my job to implement and execute. And what I love part of this AWS prototyping concept was every step of the way, we were like, well, how would we actually get this in a path to production? And while the LLMs do the heavy lifting, right, when we're talking about tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of charts that have thousands of pages, how do we really scale this? And so we continue to have those conversations during the prototyping steps, and we continue to have them today. But how do we scale this and place this into our product so that we can actually help our users and the overall healthcare system? So that was one of my main takeaways, is just every part of that prototyping steps of making sure that we could feasibly get this into our product.
Lovely. And Kate, how about you?
I'm going to echo what Rachel and then Allison and Muhammad said. But, you know, being on the clinical side, frequently, you know, I ask for the magic to happen. I step back and somehow the magic happens and I'm handed something. And I know it's very complex, but being part of this on a daily basis gave me so much more appreciation of that. And it really allowed me to learn a lot more about this process than I had previously been exposed. So that was fabulous. I learned so much. And Allison and Mohammed were so great at kind of, I don't want to say dumbing down an answer, but really making it, you know, those answers applicable to what I was doing so that it made sense to me. They weren't talking at, you know, the 300,000 mile view. You know, they were really putting it in my world. And that really, really was helpful.
Wow, that's wonderful to hear. Dr. Page, last reflections for you.
Yes. This is fun. Going into this, we knew the opportunity was enormous. I think what was reinforced for me was how important resiliency and relationships are on the journey.
What very well spoken. And you know, as we talk about systems and data and large language models, et cetera, it's also important that we zoom out on what you're trying to achieve, which is, at the end of the day, better health for folks. The reason we do these medical record reviews, the reason that you want to build in quality is to have quality of care, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for the work that you and the team are doing to help advance quality medical care for everyone. And thank you also for sharing your journey with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.